Why don't we pray, and then we'll read Colossians a little bit. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. Thank you, God, that we see your love in everything, and even bad weather is a sign of your power and your goodness and your beauty and your creativity. You are incredible. So God, I pray that you would help us to, as we read this book, to come to you with that same attitude of awe and wonder. You are God. You've spoken through these words. So as we read them, God, I pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever notice how everybody wants to be, you want to know the answer to the question, who am I? We all want to know the answer to the question, who am I? Where do I belong? What am I part of? I want to be part of something bigger than myself. I want to be part of a group that's going to be, well, more than just me by myself. I don't like to go places by myself because then I'm alone. I like to be part of something bigger than me. So we go through life looking for our tribe and saying, who am I? Who am I with? So I was thinking about this earlier and like earlier in my life. So I've always been part of a big family, but earlier in my life, that was kind of my tribe. It was kind of my identity. I'm the oldest of 9 children. So when we would go out and go places, and you know, you're around a lot of other people, but it's okay because you're with your people and they're not going to make fun of them. Maybe they will, but not then. They're not going to make fun of you there. They're not going to exclude you there. You're part of them. And so even yesterday, we had to go to, my cousin had a funeral. So there's a funeral for my cousin. But my family was there. So there were a ton of people that I didn't know or barely knew or kind of knew. But all 9 of my siblings, you know, myself included, and spouses and children and, you know, my parents were there. And so it felt safe because, well, I was with my tribe. You kind of find your identity in that. And then, you know, time would go on, and as time went on, I wanted to be part of my friends group. So in high school, I had some friends who went to East High, and so I got it in my head, I wanted to be preppy, whatever that was. I didn't, you know, I associated with Z Cavaricci's and different kinds of shirts. So I thought if you got the right clothes, you know, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be part of their group. I wanted to identify with them. And then I spent a little bit of time in a university in the South that, anyway, short-lived experiment that turned out to be. But during the time I was there, there were different clubs on campus, you know, Christian fraternities and not fraternity clubs. There were clubs, you know, social gather groups, and there was one I wanted to be part of, and I inadvertently said something insulting to one of the members. I didn't realize it until they told me later, but so that got me excluded from that group. The idea is that we all want to be part of a group. We want to be part of a tribe, somebody, of something, something bigger than ourselves. So maybe even when we're older, we identify ourselves by our family. I'm A, and then you fill in your last name there. I'm one of them. I'm one of those people. Or maybe as we get older, we identify ourselves by what we do. How are you doing? Who are? If I said, who are you? What is the first thing that a lot of people just comes out of? It's what we do. I do this. Well, yeah, who are you? Well, this is what I do. It's what I do becomes who I am. That's why if you lose your job, you can feel kind of lost sometimes. Like, who am I without that? Sometimes we look for our tribe or our identity in a particular church, and I don't mean like being connected to Jesus as much as I'm part of this tribe. I identify with this denomination or this group of people. This is who I am. Or maybe our identity, our tribe is found in our hobby. I'm with these people. We get together and dress this certain way and do this certain thing on the weekends, and this is who we are. Or your sporting team, the one you play or the one you follow. And then whatever our tribe is, whatever we identify ourselves with, there's always like an identifying mark. You know, there's that thing that is like that's the thing that sets you apart as being part of them. So growing up, you know, in family, there's identifying marks. There's no matter where I'm at, this gives me away as I'm part of I'm part of them. That's my people. You can identify. That nose doesn't just, you know, grow on non-Konarski. So there's identifying marks. There's things that set you apart as you're one of them. Why do you think gang members all get the same tattoos? I know we stay awake at night thinking about that one, trying to figure that one out, right? It's their identifying mark. I'm one of them. This is who I belong to. It's why hunters wear the same kind of clothes. It's why you wear red if you like a certain team. It's why all of your friends wear the same kind of clothes. You buy the same kind of things. It's not just because that's what they're selling at Sam's this season. It's because what your group wears. We have identifying marks that identify us as I'm with that group. So, what's your tribe? Who do you identify yourself with? What's the thing that, you know, it makes you you? Who are you? And the reality is that whatever your answer to that question is today, you ever notice how it's never enough? You never feel like you really completely belong. Even if you're at the center of the group, you always wonder how close am I to being on the outside? I never feel completely like I belong. I always feel like my identity, whatever it is, if it's my love of the Huskers or my this or my that, it's all kind of superficial. I could get a nose job and then I wouldn't look like, you know, one of them. I wouldn't do that. That would be crazy. But it's so superficial how we identify ourselves and the tribes that we belong to and our belonging to those tribes. It's like we need something more, something better, to be marked in a deeper way, something more real, something more permanent that identifies us in a more permanent way. And if you go to Colossians chapter 2, because we find exactly that in Christ. There's a section of Scripture. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And so, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. We've already read this before Christmas, so this is just the setup for the verse that we're actually going to look at today. For in him, verse 9, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, or made complete in him, who is the head of all things and authority. You've been fulfilled or filled or made complete in Christ. It's the idea that Jesus is God. And if you're in Jesus, if you've decided to follow him by repenting and being baptized, if you're in Christ, then you're complete. You're made perfect. You're filled up. You're not lacking anything. And then Paul spends the next little section outlining several different parts of what it means to be complete or full or filled up or made whole in Christ. And the first one has to do with identity. It has to do with what group we belong to and how we're marked, how we're stamped as being part of that group. And what we see, and what we'll see in the next verse, is that God marks, he stamps his children. He doesn't just set them apart and make them part of his family. He marks them in a permanent way as being part of his family. Look at verse 11. In him, so in Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So you read that verse and you say, I think that verse brings up more questions than answers. I don't see how that has to do with identity and God marking his children. And if anything, there's more questions in my mind after reading that than answers. So let's talk about some of those questions. What is circumcision? He says, in Christ, you're circumcised. And he talks about what kind of circumcision and how that looks. What is circumcision? Well, he's talking to a group of people who knows what circumcision is for a variety of reasons, because either they grew up with it or they're being told, you have to be circumcised to be part of us. He's talking to people who knew that circumcision was something that was done to Jewish babies, to Jewish boy babies when they were 8 days old. Their foreskin was cut off in a ceremonial way. It was a painful surgery, but it was a surgery nonetheless that was done to every Jewish male boy, at least everyone who would be recognized as being part of that people, of that group. It was something that God had. He's talking to people who know the backstory. And so just briefly, let's look at the backstory. He's talking to people who know that God had said, if you're going to be part of my people, you have to be circumcised. This surgery has to be done to all your male children. So look at the book of Acts, chapter 7. There's a reference to this in a sermon that was given in the book of Acts. There's a reference to this whole idea of circumcision. It just underscores the fact that this was something well known. They all knew about it because they all had it done to them. It was part of being Jewish. In Acts chapter 7, verse 8, and the he in here is going to be God. So he, God, gave him to Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. He's just summing up what every Jewish person who knew their history knew, that God said to Abraham. Well, look back at Genesis 17. We'll look at the expanded version of that summary. Genesis 17, verse 10. And this is my covenant. So God's talking to Abraham. And this thing that Stephen summed up in that little speech in Acts. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring and you. So he's going to tell him what this covenant is, what the sign of this covenant is. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. So God told Abraham, I'm going to start a tradition with you. And I'm sure Abraham felt very special, even as a tradition was laid out before him, because God says, every male who's older than 8 days old, 8 days or older, has to be circumcised. And so Abraham probably thought to future children and thought, well, that'll be easy. You can hold down an 8-day-old kid pretty easy. We can do that. But then he probably dawned on him, I'm older than 8 days old. And he did the mental math there. And he realized he would have to be circumcised. So God establishes this covenant with Abraham. And what circumcision is and what it became something that was identifying. This wasn't something that any other people other than the Jewish people did for obvious reasons. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to your sons? You would only do it if you were told to do it by the God of the universe. That would be the only reason to do it. So this was like the most painful kind of tattoo you could do. And so only people who had to do it did it. So it identified them. It marked them. It stamped them. They were set apart. They were different in a very obvious physical way. And it was permanent. It was more permanent than any tattoo. You could take a tattoo off. You can't undo this mark. You could never take it away. And it was extremely personal, and it was extremely intimate. The most intimate part of their body was marked in a way that set them apart. It was done by somebody else. It was done by someone outside of them. Someone else, in fact, decided, except in very rare cases like Abraham, who had to make the decision that he would do it to himself. It was done to 8-day-old baby boys. It was decided outside of them that it would happen to them. And it was very exclusive. That's where we started. It marked them and set them apart, and it was exclusive. It was only done to Jewish baby boys or people who wanted to convert to Judaism. So what did it mean for them to have this? And see, why are we saying all this? Because Paul just says in one verse, Christ circumcises you. But see, in order to understand what that means for us, we have to understand what it meant to the people who were hearing it. And so they were thinking of physical circumcision. They were thinking of this cutting off of the foreskin. They were thinking of that, and they were thinking of what that meant. And then Paul took that and said, and now this is going to happen to you. And so before we know what it means to us, we have to hear what it meant to them. It meant everything to them. If you were a Jewish person, and we know this because of what was said to Gentiles, if you were a Jewish person, being circumcised meant everything to you because it meant that you were marked by God. It meant that God himself had said, this is how you're going to be set apart as my people. It marked them as God's family. In the same way that my Zeke Cavaricci pants identified me as being part of a certain tribe, I wasn't sure I wanted to be part of that tribe looking back now, but for better or worse, being circumcised marked you as being part of God's tribe, as being part of God's family, as belonging to God. God looked down and said, that's mine, and he's mine, and they're mine, and they're mine. Why? Because they carry this mark. They were members of the family of God. It was a sign that they were members of the family of God, and it was also a sign of God's grace. It was a sign that God had chosen them, that even before they had grown up and done anything, they were chosen to be God's children, that they were special to him. So you read what Paul says, flip back over to Colossians now, Colossians 2 verse 11, in him, in Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So you say, okay, I get what circumcision was to them. What is he talking about that for us? Because that seems like if in Christ we're circumcised, we're made complete in Christ, a part of that is being circumcised. That sounds like something that wouldn't just be for Jewish males. It would also be for anyone who is in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, or if I'm going to be in Christ, that would apply to me. So this is a verse that carries over and covers all of us. So how do we experience circumcision today? Well, the key to that is in the first two words, in him, in Christ. You're made complete in Christ, and in Christ, you're circumcised. So when you're in Christ, when he saves you, when you decide to follow him, give yourself to him by repenting and being baptized, when you are in Christ, he makes you new. He puts you in his family, and he marks you in a deep, intimate way. In the same way that circumcision marked Jewish males as belonging to God, he marks you, but this says, not by hand. So there's not a knife and people holding someone down and physical things involved. No, he said he marks you in a spiritual way. He marks you on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes in and marks you. And what does he do? Circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh. What is he saying? That the way that Christ circumcises, marks his children, the way that we're marked, if you're in Christ, the way that you're marked is not because your body physically was cut. It's because Christ, and through his Spirit, cuts something out of your inside. Out of who you were and who you were before being in Christ, but putting off the body of flesh. What is he talking about that? He's saying God marks his children by cutting off who they were before. The old man is put to death. You've heard that expression maybe when reading through Romans 6. The old man is put to death. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about in Christ that our old nature is cut off. It's the rebellion against God, the thing inside of us that makes us want to be our own boss, the thing that makes us want to rebel against God, us being us, is removed. The old man dies. The flesh is put to death. And we're marked by God. We're complete in Christ by being transformed and marked as children of God. So what does that circumcision mean to us? We know what it meant to them, the Jewish people in the past. What does that mean to us to be marked by God, to have our hearts changed? Not our physical heart, but our flesh, who we are on the inside, our desires and our what the direction we're bent in, having that cut off and change. What does that mean to be marked by God in that way on the inside? It means the same thing it did for the Jewish people. It identifies us, God's children, and the epistles and the letters that were written in the New Testament are full of references to this. God's children are supposed to be marked by who they are and by who they aren't. You're not the same person you used to be, so live differently. That's a paraphrase of something that's found in almost every one of Paul's letters. That's kind of the underwriting argument to all of the things that when Paul would write to churches, he'd say, you used to be this way, you're not anymore, so be like the person you are now, not the person you used to be. Why? Because God's children are marked by the fact that God does surgery on us on the inside, and he changes us, and he cuts something off. It identifies us. That's supposed to be our permanent mark, our identifying mark, and it's permanent. He changes us forever. It's not something that grows back. Now you say, well, I don't always live like that old part of me is dead. I want to rebel against God sometimes. My old desires come back. I know. That's because it doesn't know it's dead. It's like you have an amputation and you have phantom pain. You have phantom muscle memory. Okay. It's the same kind of thing. The old man doesn't know he's dead and he tries to act like he's alive, but God says, I cut that out of you. It's a permanent removal of that. And it's just like circumcision was very intimate and very personal. If you were a Jewish male, that having that part of your body permanently altered surgically, that's very personal and intimate. When God reaches inside of us and changes who we are and removes our rebellious flesh, our rebellious heart, and changes us, that's very, very intimate, because he doesn't change us in the most intimate part of our body. He changes us in the most intimate part of our being on the inside. And just like circumcision was physically was the work of another, someone else had to do it. Who does it say does the circumcision to God's children now? It's Christ who does it. Christ cuts out the old flesh, the old man. And it's also exclusive. You're not made new if you're not in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are made new. That is cut out of you. But if you're not in Christ, it's not. And see, circumcision was something that changed the people on the outside. But this circumcision, look at what he says. Circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a transformative thing. That changes who you are. It doesn't just make you look different. I can put on different clothes. I can do my hair a different way. I can act a little bit different. And you'll think that I'm part of this tribe or that tribe or this group or that group. But it's all on the outside. I can change all that again. I can become a different person by just changing what's out here on the outside. But this kind of change, the way God marks his children as saying, that person is mine, he's part of my family, that's an internal transformation. He actually makes us different. He makes us become different people. He changes. That's why, have you ever noticed after you become a Christian, things that before you delighted in, and then maybe you went back and you said, I'm going to delight in that some more, and it just didn't feel the same. There's like some of the joy is gone, and it doesn't feel as good as it felt before. Like you get angry before, and there's a release there. But then when you're a Christian, it doesn't feel as good as it felt before. The Holy Spirit is correcting you in the moment, and you're saying, this isn't who I am, and it just doesn't feel like it felt before. That's because you're different on the inside. You're a different person. God's transformed you as he's marked you as his own. Who you are, your nature has changed. And circumcision then marks us. It marks us as being in God's family in a more permanent way than a tattoo or something like that ever would. It marks us as being God's children. He cuts out our flesh out of our heart, and he makes us his children. He identifies us. These are mine. These are my children. They belong to me. They're part of my family. That's their tribe. And if you say, okay, I see that in that text. I get the whole circumcision thing. I don't always feel that. I'm a Christian, and I don't always feel that. I don't feel like I belong always. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the outside. If I'm part of God's family and marked and stamped with him on the inside because he changed who I am, shouldn't I feel like I belong more? And this is saying you're different. Christ has done something on the inside of you, even in moments when you don't feel like it's true. Even in moments when you say, I'm not sure the old flesh is gone because I feel like I did before. I want to do the stuff I did before. God's saying, I changed you. I cut that out of you. That's phantom sin. That's if you listen to those desires, it becomes real sin. But that's not who you really are. That's not who you are on the inside. Now I've changed you. If you're in Christ, he's marked you on the inside, and you're part of his family. Could you imagine what it would be if we lived with that, with just the complete confidence that I'm God's child. That's the tribe I belong to. That's the group that I'm a part of. I'm part of God's family. God is my Father, the King of the universe. He loves me dearly, and it's not something I'm imagining because He's changed me. He's marked me as His own. He's taken something out of me, and I know it's not there anymore because I am a different person. Can you imagine the confidence and the joy and the generosity and the grace that we would show if we lived every day fully confident of who we are in Christ and who we are a part of and how God has changed us on the inside? So you say, so what do we do? What's the application from this? This is like something Christ does. So is there going to be an application at the end of this message? Well, it wouldn't be a message if there wasn't an application, would it? So there is an application, because the people who are made new by Christ and marked as God's children and made part of His family, who belong to that tribe, they're the people who are in Christ. They're the people who have made the decision to repent and be baptized and give themselves to Jesus and decide to follow Him. And so when you make that decision in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, if you haven't ever done that, you can tell someone, you can repent and you can be baptized. And when you do that, listen, you become part of God's family. And that desire that we all have to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to be part of a permanent thing, I want to be part of a group, I want to be part of them. You're part of God's family. It's the most permanent, most beautiful group to be a part of ever. And you're marked by God's Spirit on the inside as being His child. You're changed, and you're marked for forever as this is God's child. And if you are God's child, if you have given yourself to Jesus, what's the application for us in this? Isn't it to live as people that inhabit this identity? My main identity is not a Hunter or a Husker fan, or those are two things I really don't do, so I'm just making stuff up now. My main identity is not whatever my thing is. It's not even that I'm a Konarski. That's not my main identity. That's not who I am. Shouldn't we inhabit this identity that I'm God's child? I found my family. I found my tribe. I found my people. I'm part of this. I'm part of y'all. I'm part of God's big, the way Mike says it, forever family. I'm part of that. That's who I am. That's what I'm part of. And I'm marked on the inside. I'm identified on the inside as being God's child in a way that I know is true, because I know me and I know that I'm different. And God looks down and He sees me and He says, that's mine. I've marked Him as mine. And when we live and we inhabit that identity, don't we then become people who are thankful every time we take the Lord's Supper and we say, you died for me to take away my sins so that I could become your child? Aren't we overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude? Could you imagine what it would be like if every day, just for a week, this is kind of like a little mini challenge. What if every day this week you woke up, instead of looking, first thing, look outside to see how much ice there was, the first thing you did was you said, I'm God's child. I'm marked by Him on the inside. He's my Father and He loves me, and I'm part of His family. How would your day be different if we started every day remembering that, who we are? We belong to Him, we're marked by Him, and we're His. Why don't we stand and we'll sing together after we pray. God, we come to You and we thank You because You are so good. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for inviting us to be part of Your family, and then when we are, marking us as Yours and permanently taking out something from the inside of us, the very worst of who we are, and making us Your children. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.